the kingdom of God is the presence of Jesus Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. He's the most glorious, most wonderful, most beautiful being in the universe. The one we were made and created to know and to fellowship with forever. Every person who makes it to heaven, who finds Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, will fellowship with God forever. Amen. We have the opportunity on the earth to know Him, to walk with Him, to fellowship with Him. This was Jesus Christ's main message when He was on the earth as a man. When God came to earth as a man and justified Himself to the world, His main message during His 3 years of ministry was the kingdom, the presence of God, the anointing. The kingdom of God is like a creek that flows with water that provides life for people on the earth. No one on the earth knows how where the water is coming from and where it goes. Now we know the rivers and it goes into the ocean. But we don't know whether we sleep or whether we're awake. God sends the rains. He sends the waters. He fills the creeks and the rivers and the streams and the lakes, and that water keeps us alive. Incredible. That's what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is literally Him, God Almighty. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a man who goes and plants and scatters seeds. And whether he sleeps or whether he wakes up, those seeds grow up into the crop. First the blade, then the head, then the full grain. He doesn't know how. Amen. Amen. God does that. That's God Himself who does that. Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is like a seed that's very small. This is, a paraphrase of one of Jesus' parables. It's like a seed that's very small. It's planted in the ground and it becomes a big plant. And it gives shade to the other plants and it provides things of necessity. The kingdom of God is like the bees on the earth that go and do all these things that human beings can never accomplish, that are vital to our food system, that go and, it's incredible what bees do and what all the different animals do. That's what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like a man who, or a woman who finds a treasure buried in a field, for joy goes and sells everything that they have, and they dig that treasure up again and again. It's the glory of the Lord. What we were born to do. If I just gave one message, it would be this. He's made Himself available to every person, and yet very few seek Him. The presence of Jesus Christ. So wonderful. So glorious. He cannot be described and cannot be put into words. Isn't that ironic that most people have almost a void, what we call Christianity, they almost avoid it like the plague. Yet He's the one that we were created to be with forever. What we were born to do is fellowship with Him. We weren't born to worship. We weren't born to do ministry. We weren't born to read the Bible. We were born. Our number one reason that we're here, the number one purpose of our existence, the reason that we're here, the reason we were born on the earth, in other words, the reason God created us, is to fellowship with Him. In fact, that's the 100% of the reason. All those things I just mentioned flow from that. If we do those things that I just mentioned, which are great things, right? Worship is great. Reading the Bible is great. Doing ministry is great. Going to church is great. But if we do those things, first, we've got the order reversed. And so that's why there's no power. That's why there's no change in us. Someone can memorize the whole Bible and know the Bible in 10 languages and not be changed at all. I could give other examples like that, but the bottom line is this privilege of seeking Him and knowing Him and just getting a glimpse of Him far off in the distance is the greatest thing a human could ever do. Just being at a meeting where the presence of the Lord is and experiencing that is the greatest thing a human could ever do. And then if they leave, well, they don't get to get that presence because we have to have our own direct relationship with Him, our own secret. That's another key that's common sense, but Jesus said it. He said, when you pray, go into your closet. Go into your room. Shut the door. Pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who dwells in the secret place will reward you in the open. What does that mean? It just means it's our relationship with Him. It's your relationship with Him. That's 100% of everything. If you have that, you have everything. Just keep going. Keep going. If you don't have that, it's the easiest thing to do to meet Him and know Him. Simply ask Him sincerely, wherever you are, whatever you've done, whatever. We all have needs. All of us have needs. Even those who are saved, we all have needs. We all have challenges, hard times, good times and hard times. And it's so easy to come to Him. He's everywhere. He's available all the time. That principle that I was just presenting, I hope that I presented that in the right way. I don't want to come across as a know-it-all. I don't want to come across as, you know, this firm presentation. I'll be the first to admit, I'm a sinner, saved by grace. I have challenges and problems like everybody. I have health problems right now that I'm dealing with. And I'm believing to be healed. I would appreciate if you believe with me. I'll believe with you for you to be healed of anything that you need to be healed from. But I say this with emphasis because we all need to hear it. And as I've said before, I don't hear many people talking about this. Someone may even ask, well, if the kingdom is just this so wonderful and so glorious, why? And it's what we were born to do and the purpose of us being here, then why don't I hear this more? Good question. Maybe the enemy and the world don't want us to hear it. People could also ask, well, if this is all true, then why is life so hard? Why have I had so many problems and hard times and it's just so hard? Why? If you're saying that this is really the reason why we're here and God loves us and He wants us to have all these great things, we don't have all the answers. Many of these things are a mystery to us. We do know that perhaps He is ordering things so that we come to Him. And as I've mentioned before, those on the earth who have it easy, that's a dangerous place to be. You know, the rich, those who have it easy, those who are, Jesus said, woe to you who are full. Woe to you who laugh. Woe to you who are rich. And all these, He said, blessed are you poor in spirit. Blessed are you who weep now. Blessed are you who hunger now. So that's a different message, but I wanted to add that. It's important. The kingdom of God. And that main point I was making, 100% of everything we are to do is the kingdom. The presence of Jesus Christ, the presence of God, seeking Him, getting Him. That's everything. And all things flow from that. Glory to God. That's the takeaway from this little message. And there are certain keys that are common sense, but that Jesus emphasized. And remember, when He said something, it's eternal. He said, the words I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. He said, your word is truth. His words, He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Perhaps the next series could be about the words of Jesus Christ, like just some messages about that. You know, He said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth shall set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. And He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you shall be my disciples. So perhaps that's another series. But it's relevant here as well, that these keys that Jesus gave us, such as our personal relationship with Him, just us and Him, that's the key. A key. And it's a big one. Because we want to go to everything else except to Him. It's probably our human nature, our old nature that just misses it completely. That's the monster. A great man of God called our old nature this monster. That probably is the biggest cause of us, one of the biggest causes, of us not pursuing Jesus Christ and His presence. You know, the old nature wants to do the other things. Obstacles, hindrances to mankind, finding the kingdom, finding Him, finding Jesus Christ. Number one, of course, the enemy. The enemy has deceived, 70% or more of humans. So, and he deceives us. He deceives followers of Jesus into thinking that Jesus Christ is not really what we should be doing. People find Jesus, but they don't understand the anointing, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, and how this glorious opportunity that's on a scale of 0 to 1,000 is infinity on the pleasure scale. Let me say that. 0 to 1,000 Fellowship with Jesus Christ is in, on the pleasure scale of 0 to 1,000 is infinity. On the pleasure scale of 0 to 1,000, other things like alcohol and sex and, you know, entertainment and music are maybe a 10 or a 20. I mean, just non-existent compared to the presence of Jesus Christ and His anointing. So how can it be that 98% of people don't know this and don't pursue Him? They pursue everything else. Number one, the enemy. The reason I just said. Number two, the world. The world deceives us as well. We are deceived and brainwashed into thinking that, oh, well, I need to look beautiful and I need to be happy and have money and look a certain way and have certain friends and do certain things and you know, follow certain things that are entertaining to me and go on trips and have my special little corner of the universe right here. We think that that's going to be fulfilling. In fact, someone even once said to me, I said, you know, I always thought that, you know, having the house and the wife and the family and the car and all the material things was going to, you know, make me happy, but it's not. And he said, well, then what does? And so I said, Jesus Christ. But it's Jesus Christ and His glorious presence. Just a walk with Him. Just following Him. Isn't that wonderful? This should be so encouraging to us. That's what I'm going to try to finish up with. But so number one, the enemy. Number two, the world. Number three, sin. So, you know, that the pleasures of life, Jesus called them. So sin is really self-will. You know, there's hundreds of sins, but it's self-will. Someone who wants to do it their way. And yes, within that, there's sex, drugs, alcohol, you know, worshiping yourself, you know, self, you know, doing all that. Then the fourth thing would be our old nature. So those of you know, those who are following Jesus Christ and have found that answer and realized, you know, basically the Holy Spirit's opened their spiritual eyes to realize that it's the anointing and it's the kingdom is the answer. Well, they've pretty much, this is just a way to look at it. The enemy's not deceiving them now. The world's not deceiving them. They realize that's totally empty. Sin is not necessarily, you know, ruling over them like it used to. Oh, that person's, we all sin. We all still sin and we slip up and we do things that we don't want to do, like Paul said. But it's the fourth one. It's our old nature who wants to do its own thing and wants to, you know, just go back to, well, that's probably sin in and of itself. If we're going to the old nature and our old nature wants to be in self-will. But maybe that's another series, the old nature. The Bible calls it the flesh. What is that? How do we? Well, through the Holy Spirit, we win the battle. We win through Him. Amen. So let me finish with this. This all should be so encouraging to us. That 100% of everything is our private personal relationship with Him and seeking Him and getting that anointing. And then He takes care of all the rest. He takes care of ministry. He makes the Bible come alive. He fills us so much that all we want to do is worship. And then we realize that many things that we do are worship. Just offering up our whole self to Him is worship to Him. worshiping him. You know, yes, putting on music and worshiping, yes, that's wonderful. But there's many ways to worship. We could be in our job doing a menial job, but if we do it well and we are fellowshipping with him, well, we're worshiping him. If we're an intercessor, that's what I've been wanting to mention. God may be calling you to be an intercessor. Be a prayer warrior. To pray for your where you live, in your city, your country, the countries around you, the cities around you, other ministries. That's a ministry right there. He may be calling you to the ministry of helps, the ministry of administrations, maybe to one of the fivefold ministries. But it's the Holy Spirit that will accomplish, will empower you to do your ministry completely. It will be easy. He makes it easy. Amen. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That's when we move into that phase where, you know, all along it's been hard, right? It's been impossible. But with the Holy Spirit, it's easy. It's light. That's when we're walking by faith. We're relying on Him. We're empowered. We're flowing in the Spirit. The Spirit is the wind of our sails. Amen. So encouraging. So makes it so fun. Makes it exciting. And it's not a drudgery. It's not, another day where I've got to just, you know, have this burden and try to find God and understand the whole Bible. No. When we know Him, that's the secret. Right where you are. Amen. He's the God of the now. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. He forgives and He totally forgets our past. We're a new creation. We're empowered. And it's this glorious journey that lasts forever. For every one of us, today is the first day of our eternity. This next hour is the first hour of our eternity. Amen. Thanks for listening. Someone may say, oh, God never speaks to me. He's never answered my prayers, and I've tried and tried, and I've given up, and I don't believe that there's a God or whatever. And that may be their reasoning of why they don't seek God Almighty, why they don't pursue Him and fear Him and so forth, why they don't come to Jesus Christ. That's their excuse. Let's examine this. So let's say someone seeks God, they pray to God, they even ask Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. And I've had people tell me that, oh, I've asked Jesus into my heart many, many, many times and nothing's ever happened. Let's just step back and look at the natural first. And let me add this. They may say, oh, God's never provided anything for me. He's never done anything for me. I've cried out and He's never responded. In fact, I just heard a song and I don't know the title of the song or who sings it, but it's a popular song at some point in recent years. And the opening lines are, I met God at the corner of 5th and Namastad. And the chorus basically, I'm paraphrasing here, but it basically says, you know, where were you? You never called. You never left a message. You never called me. And this is kind of a message, this whoever wrote this, it's a message to God. So let's look at the natural and step back. First of all, God gave us our very existence. So for someone to claim that he's never provided anything, well, he gave us our very life. If someone doesn't believe that there's a higher power who made them and created them specifically and wants them to spend forever in heaven and all these wonderful things, has a plan for their life on the earth. I know the plans that I have for you, plans for good and not for evil. If someone doesn't believe that, well, that's the first thing that we need to establish. That God created them into his own image, which is beyond human comprehension, and fearfully knit them in their mother's womb. As hard as their life has been, and as all the suffering that they've endured, and all the bad things, God created them, and created you, and created me. So that's the very first thing. So he provided us our life. Then, as I've said in previous messages, but it's so important to repeat, everything that we have, God has provided for us. Literally everything. I mean, he gave us our very physical life on the earth and everything related to it. The four foundational things that we need to survive: sunlight, air, water, food. He's provided all of them all the time, our entire life. Whoa, that's a big statement. But if anyone analyzes that, that's the conclusion we have to come to. So he's providing for us every day, all the time, 24/7, 365 days a year, our entire life. Whether we're 10 years old, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. He's provided all of that all the time for our entire life. So now we realize, boy, he's speaking to us every day in the natural, providing these things. Now let's look at it another way. We know that with human beings on the earth, if we seek to communicate with them, they may answer us. They may not answer us. They may communicate with us, or they may ignore us. You know, not answer us, not deal with us. They don't even know we exist. We can try our entire life to reach some famous person, and we can never reach them. Maybe with someone that we know, even with people that we know. They might respond to us, they might not. And that's just human beings. Well, with God Almighty, we should fear him all the time. He may answer us with a yes or a no, but he also may not answer. And that doesn't mean that he doesn't exist. When that human being doesn't answer us, that doesn't mean that they don't exist. It doesn't mean that they don't care about other people. They're just a human being, someone that God made. They're going to die at some point. They're just a human. We're dealing with God Almighty, so we need to fear him. We need to have reverence. Even if we're live for 30, 40, 50 years and we never really hear from God, well, as I said earlier, really, we have heard from him every day, all the time. Amen. He's provided all these things. In fact, everything good in our lives, he's provided. If there's a person in our life that means something to us, he made that person. He's working on them, just like he's working on us, in this divine mystery. So these are just some things to think about. Thank you.